Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there we go. Now we're going live on YouTube. Good to have everybody with us today. Thank you. We're going to have a good time in God's Word. 1 hour of faith.
An hour and a half.
Thank you.
Probably.
Have a good time in God's Word. 1 hour. Meeting is now being live streamed. There we go. And if you want to, post that on Zoom. Welcome, everybody. We're going to have 1 hour of faith, not an hour and a half. 1 hour of faith today as we study the walk of faith. Hey, there's Sunday. She made it to YouTube. Sunday, we decided that you are actually an Air Force person. And even though you're trying to come in and talk to us, you're just doing touch and goes. You're like, yeah. So, you know, every time you get there, blow the ants off that runway. Just blow the ants off the runway as you go by. But those of you that are with us on a regular basis, we welcome you. This is our Sunday church, what some of us call Sunday church. If you call this your church, then we say welcome to you. If you don't call this to your church, we say welcome to you. If you're just happening by because you see us and you know our smiling faces, then welcome. We're glad to have you. Most of all, I'm going to tell you this on purpose right now from me. I am here on purpose by assignment of God. This isn't just a happenstance. So you connecting here is not just a happenstance. This is you. God brought you by, and you're like, wow, what's these guys doing? He's got a toaster in the background. Looks like he's sitting in the kitchen. I am sitting in the kitchen. And we want you to be here and be a part of it. This is our Sunday morning service. We're in a series right now that's walking with God like, and then we're going to add somebody. We've talked about Zacchaeus. We talked about Peter. This morning we're going to talk about the Roman centurion. Or there's a bunch of different centurions throughout Jesus' ministry that followed him. And then we're just going to talk about how they followed after Jesus. And that's what you and I do. That's our process. So in order to make this an hour of faith and not an hour and a half of faith, I have to get right to the Word of God. And so we welcome you to join us with it. Everybody, if you will, hold your Bible up. We're going to make our faith confession about the Word, and then we'll get right into the Word of God today. Ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because He is the great I am.
Because He is the great.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Is making this Word come alive.
Is making this Word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the Word of God.
I receive the Word of God.
Like I really do receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold
return. In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. Now,
amen.
Some of you have been wondering, hey, Pastor, where you guys been the last week? We've been studying a series on our Zoom broadcasting. You're welcome to come and join us on Zoom. Any of you who have been a part of what we're doing and you want to join us on our Zoom broadcast, you are very much welcome to come and be a part of that with us. And just make sure you send me an email. My email address and website is right in the notes of every one of our programs. And we want you to come and be a part of it. We've been studying a series by Brother John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. And that's about getting free from offense. And I'm telling you, I don't think there's anybody who listened to that program this last week that can walk away saying, no, I have zero offense in my life. No. I've pretty much live an unoffended life. But what the Holy Spirit revealed to me this week is I got some deeper offenses that I didn't realize there. I'd really blocked a wall around them. And I've got to get them reconciled, not only with God, but man. Paul said, keep a conscience clear of offense between God and man. And so that's what this whole program is about and was about this week. Monday night, we're still going to do it. One more program. It's called About Reconciliation. Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here in our Zoom broadcast. We'll go live on YouTube for just a minute. We'll send you the link, and then we got to go to Zoom because it's copyrighted material. We can't broadcast it like it's our own.
Somebody's going to buy the book.
Buy the book. That's a good thing. Go on his website and buy the book, The Bait of Satan. It's a great book. Like the one pastor said that told John, I read the book four times a year, and he's like, four times a year? He goes, yeah, January 1st, April 1st, July 1st, whatever it is. Every 3 months you read the book. He's like, why do you read it four times a year? He said, because I want my spirit to be so resistant to offense that I truly live offense-free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the other side of it. You're not carrying any baggage from your past. If you had a mean mom, a mean dad, a mean coach, a mean teacher, a mean anybody, a mean husband, wife, business partner, and they offended you, if you've not dealt with the offense and brought reconciliation in God's way, you probably still got a big wound down in there festering. And that festering wound's going to cause you to hurt and affect other people. According to the book of Hebrews, that will grow a root of bitterness, and it will defile everybody around you because of the root of bitterness in your heart. You don't want that. And you can say, well, Pastor, I just don't want to hear what you're saying. It doesn't matter. If you don't hear me now, you'll stand before Jesus, and then he'll say it to you. The only difference is that at that point, it's too late. You've already made your decision.
If we have offense and unforgiveness,
you got to get it out. If you got offense or unforgiveness, you got to get it out. Wait. The process of dealing with it is getting it out. Getting it out doesn't mean you see it, it's out there. One day, one word is gone. No. One day, one word helps you focus, make a quality decision that says, that's it, you're out of my life. Dealing and reconciling with some of the serious offenses. I mean, we heard some serious offenses last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you another story I know of a young man. He was just a young man. And he married his high school sweetheart, something, and then went away to the military and met another girl. And then came home to his wife and had his wife and the other girl both pregnant at the same time.
Oh, no.
And reconciliation for her was a frying pan up behind the backside of his head. Wait, that's not reconciliation. That's revenge. That's stupid, too. What he did. Now, how do you get free from the offense? How do you get free from the wound? It's a wound. Like John was illustrating last night with that chair. If I hit you with this chair, I will wound you. And so I just encourage you to come and be a part. And if you haven't been able to be a part, go to Messenger X, big X, and download the app. And you can see the whole Beta Satan series there again and study it. Really? I think every one of us have to say there's an offense in our life somewhere. And this might be one of those places where God says, no, you stay on this until your heart is completely offense-free. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is not my message. It's just a really good plug for what's going on. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let me give you another plug. God gave us an assignment to go on the air in Kansas City. And we're going on the air in Kansas City. And we have raised a certain amount of money to get that done. And we encourage you, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, to continue to sow money into that. We're going to preach this same bold message of truth, faith, and righteousness right there on that channel in Kansas City. God will give us a perfect time coming and going, people coming and going from work so they can be listening, and their lives will change in Jesus' mighty name. And we'll go from Kansas City, and then we'll go all the way across their whole network. That's how I see it. And be a blessing. That's something if you want to. So, matter of fact, let me say it differently. That's a place, if you need a financial breakthrough in your life, that's a good place to sow the seed. The greatest way to get a financial breakthrough is sow a seed. And keep sowing. Keep sowing. And it'll be a blessing to you. Now, I'm not going to tell you, if you sow $100 today, that God's going to give you $1,000 by tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. No preacher can do that. However, I guarantee you, if you sow that seed in faith, no, I don't guarantee you. The word of God guarantees the fact that if you sow a seed in faith and you stay in faith on that seed, it will produce a hundredfold return. The problem with many people is they sow a seed this month, they sow a seed next month, they sow a seed next month. And the seeds are so far apart, the harvest is that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, I showed love to somebody today at work. How come they're not loving me back? No, you got to live the life of love. You're continually sowing. And anyways, we welcome you to sow a seed in that. If you do, you can go right on the internet and on SamuelJCottle.com, you click the donate button. There's several different ways to give there. Market, radio, that's what it is. If you send your tithes and offerings in here, thank you very much. We love you and appreciate you. We respect you. And we pray over every seed and send you the prayer that we pray so you can pray it with us and be in agreement. In Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. 1 hour of faith has now had 10 minutes of here's what we got going on. Open your Bible today to the Gospels, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. If you're new to us, how this ministry works. It's not how every ministry works. And learn this. Just because Brother Copeland's on TV, radio, shortwave, smoke signals, and every other media force of the earth doesn't mean that that's what every preacher has to do. Everybody has their assignment. John Hagee is a master of defending Israel and helping the Jews get home. But that's his assignment, mm-hmm. right? And then there's great organizations that are just all about the youth and the children. That's what God's given them as an assignment. So this is how God works with us. He tells us a message. He gives us a subject. He gives us a topic and then says, dig it out. And we get in and dig it out so we can just mine. It's like we're like gold mine, shaking the pan till the gold comes to the top. And we're like, ooh, look at that nugget. And there it is. And that's what we do. We welcome you to be a part. You know, the cool thing about what we do is it doesn't cost any money. Did we honestly just lose internet signal?
Is that what
no,
happened?
No, we're here.
It just signed me back in.
Are we back with you, Dan?
Yeah, we're good. Bought you just for a little bit.
Okay.
Stop messing with the internet line. Are we still broadcast? Sunday, can you still see us on YouTube?
I can.
All right. So that's what we do here. We just get into this message and amen, going to buy the book. Coffee and prayer with the pastor. So now going to Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read the story of the centurion. Matthew chapter 8. Let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 15. 8, 1 through 15. 1 hour of faith plus coffee, prayer, preaching, and a few other things. All right. Thank you, Cindy. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, just preached the Beatitudes, multitudes, great multitudes followed him. Well, they were under Roman occupation. So what's going to follow great multitudes in any city? A great number of officers, a great number of military standing. Who are you guys? What are you doing? And are you trying to set something up against the government? Why do you think the police do what they do? Here. It used to be they were protecting the president and our nation from enemies. Now it's to spy on the people. We rebuke you. Stop doing that. Verse 2. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy went away. Now watch this. Jesus is saying to you, if you're willing, you can be cleansed because I've already made the way. The difference in then and now is then Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do it. Now Jesus has already paid the price. It's already done. And healing has been made. Verse 4, Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. He told them to go abide by the law that we've read. Remember, we've read all that about the leprosy and how they had to go back several times and all of that. Verse 5, when Jesus entered Capernaum, Capernaum is the city where Jesus owned his house. Capernaum is where Jesus lived. Now, some of you are like, Jesus didn't own a house. Yeah, he did. It was Jesus' house that they tore the roof off of when they let the sick man down. Mm-hmm. Go study the Bible. I'm not going to prove it to you right now. You go study it. Verse 5. A centurion came to him, pleading with him. Now, let me say something about a centurion right here. A centurion is a ruler of 100 century. Centurion. He was the ruler, the commander of 100 troops. He was in charge, which is 4 or 5 squads of troops. So this is an important person in the Roman military. He's a commander of 100. The centurion usually paid his own way. It was a position, an austere position in the community. So he cared for himself, which meant he probably had a business and people were running the business and, you know, he was able to provide for his own deal. Many of them provided all their own weaponry and armor for his men. Not from the government. So this is obviously a centurion that had been following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Every government, anytime somebody has a crowd of 25,000 people show up in the street, had better pay attention to what's going on because 25,000 people can make a big hole in a big city in a big hurry. So what's the Roman government do except send the centurion out? Well, what's the centurion's assignment? Listen to what this man is saying and see if you can hear what he's all about. So the centurion listened to what Jesus said. And what happened in the centurion's heart? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Turn there with me. Hold your place in Matthew. Don't lose your place in Matthew 8. But Romans 10, 17. Look at what it says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The centurion began to have faith as he's listening to Jesus.
Where are we at right now?
Romans 10, 17. See, just by nature of listening to Jesus teach, the Roman centurion began to have faith building in his heart. Now, when you read Romans chapter 10, we've studied this many different times. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, and we're in verse number 6. He came pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." That's a severe torment when you are severely paralyzed. "Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him." I want you to think about this. Not only was the Roman centurion watching Jesus, Jesus was watching that Roman centurion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus taught the disciples, whatever you do, get along with all these military soldiers. Remember, we're not against them. They are our target. Let's win them.
Amen.
So Jesus and the disciples probably worked hand in hand with the centurions at many times to control the crowd. Now, the centurions were usually mean people. They did not care. They were, many of them would be demon possessed. They didn't, kill anybody at any time. It didn't matter, man, woman, boy, girl, it wouldn't matter to them. They didn't care. They were very, 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 very crass group of people, but not this one. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed." Now, why would the centurion say, "Only speak a word"? Except that he had seen Jesus speak a word over all these diseased,
yeah,
horribly maimed people, and they're healed, and the man's like, "Would you look at that?" What did he say? Peter's not standing there with a bucket of water throwing water on him, right? Jesus is speaking a word, and they're being made whole. Well, the Roman centurion says, "Well, all you got to do is speak a word, and my servant will be made whole." Now watch this. This is one of the greatest principles of faith. Verse 9, "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Remember, he's in Capernaum, on the other side of Galilee. "Not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you." And his servant was healed from that same hour. Now think about it. The man had faith where he was. He looked at Jesus and knew Jesus was a man of great authority. He'd watched it happen. Can you imagine how many miracles he had seen? I mean, when Jesus started doing miracles, there was miracles. Well, it literally said many times, and he healed all who were sick amongst him. Well, you got a crowd of 20,000 people? That's a whole lot of sick people.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of maimed people.
Kidding.
And he watched every one of them. And you got to know that the soldiers, if you've never been around the military, soldiers came to him and said, boss, sir, whatever they called him, what do you think about what we're seeing? And he had to say at the beginning, I don't know. Did you see that lady? She couldn't walk. He spoke that word and she just got up and started running. He said, did you see how that lady was running and jumping and dancing? Well, yeah, because we kind of thought maybe something crazy is going to happen. So we got a little closer to her. And the boss would say, did anything crazy happen? No, this is the strangest crowd of people, sir. Nobody here's violent. Nobody here's wild. Nobody here's, everything's in control. And the centurion would say, you're right. Enjoy this assignment. We're not even having to hurt anybody. We're not even having to kill anybody. You got to know they talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, whether it was the commander that had the faith or somebody around him saying, go to the master, sir. But it doesn't matter what it is. It says he came to Jesus pleading with him. Verse number 5. He came to Jesus pleading with him, will you please heal my servant? There's people who run out and chase a man of God. But this guy wasn't running out chasing him. This guy was assigned to him by his job. He just took advantage of what he saw on his job and said, I better believe what this man's doing because look at that. And of course, Jesus is teaching, I only do what I see my father do. I only do what I hear my father's. I only say what I hear my father say. So the centurion's heard it and faith has come in his heart. And he's watched Jesus speak and bam, and he watched the disciples who were empowered and deputized by Jesus. And they did it. And that guy, that centurion's like, well, not only did the leader do it, but his followers are doing it. So he's a man under authority also. Jesus said of this centurion, I've not seen such faith in all of Israel. Now, right here, right now, today, we have a family that's dealing with COVID, right? And we've dealt with COVID ever since COVID showed up.
Mm-hmm.
When I began to hear about it, I began to condemn it. I began to speak against it. I began to speak the word against it. I still speak the word of God against it. You don't have to have that virus.
Amen.
You have life and life more abundantly in you. And that same life that's in you is trying to get out of you onto them to cause them to be healed, healthy, and whole.
Amen.
Go and take authority over that virus. It doesn't have any power over you. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1, God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. God created man, breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living being, a speaking spirit like God. The Hamash translation, which is Jewish, said, man became a speaking spirit like God. Well, that's what you and I are. Our spirit, man, has been born again. It has come alive. It has received the life of God. We've been filled with the Spirit. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. So everywhere we go and speak life, and life comes.
Amen.
Can I get an amen from anybody? Can you imagine the centurion when Jesus said, can you imagine? The centurion says, all I know, sir, is when you speak, something happens. And Jesus stops the whole crowd. I've not seen this kind of faith, not in all of Israel. Well, wait. Guess what happened? Now the attention went on the centurion. The centurion's like, no, don't do that. And then what did Jesus say? And I say to you, many will come from the east and the west. Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed then. We speak life to Zoe right now in Jesus' name. We speak life to everyone that's around them right now in Jesus' name. I declare over every person that is connected to us here today on this program and any day that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you totally and completely, let me say it, that the revelation of the fact, the truth that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you live in that every day, and no matter what comes at you from the outside, you resist it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you overcome with life every day,
amen,
all day long, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Say this with me. I speak life.
I speak life.
And life more abundant.
And life more abundant.
Now, some of you aren't doing that, but you need to. When I'm driving truck out in the prairie, I put my hand on that trailer and I speak life to it. Life to the brakes, life to the tire, life to the tank, life to the pump, life to the hydraulics, life to the semi, life to the engine, life to the transmission. Why do you do that? It's an inanimate object. That's my mule. God said to the children of Israel, your oxen will not cast its foot in the field before it's time. Well, I just got 550 head of oxen pulling this load. And we've just learned how to put them all down into one little engine that's about, 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot. Hallelujah. That's a lot of oxen to feed 500 of them. See, you and I need to speak life everywhere you go. Speak life into your mate. Speak life into your children.
Yes.
Speak life into your neighbors.
Yes.
Speak life into your city. Everywhere you go, you and I must be life warriors. We must be. Everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to another one of these. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. This is the same story, but from Dr. Luke's eyes. Luke was a physician. All right? Luke 7, 1 through 10. Now, when he had concluded all his sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Certain centurion servant, look at this, who was dear to him. The centurion was dear to Jesus. No. The servant was dear. Sorry. The servant was dear to the centurion. My goodness sakes alive. Wait, I wanted to pray a little bit more for Zoe. Jesus spoke life, and we speak life, and we declare everyone connected finds the life of God, and Sister Sunday has the opportunity to explain it right out of God's word.
Amen.
And the whole family receives life. I speak life to you, Kathy, and Matt, and Joey, and Bella. Speak life to your family. Sister Mary, Pastor Rick and Don, we speak life to you. Tony and Audrey, Rebecca and Christine, Sister Phyllis, James and Felicia, Eric and Becca, we love you guys. Julian and Vimal, don't you just love how we go around the world?
Mm-hmm.
Sister Elaine Tafili in Samoa, I like that. Mary in Singapore, Brother Tanvir and all y'all in Pakistan. Isn't that something how we can just run around the world saying names? We're name dropping. You're faithful believers. We love all y'all. I speak life into your lives. Just say it. I receive it. Let's keep reading. He was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent his elders. He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that one for whom he should do this was deserving. Look at what it says, verse 5. He loves our nation. He built us a synagogue. This was a serious centurion. Mm-hmm. He not only kept control and peace, but he loved the Jews and he built a nation. Why did he love the Jews? Because he heard Jesus teach. And he probably told his commander, hey, just keep sending me. I'll take care of that Jesus guy. Just keep sending me over there. Why? Faith had grown in his heart. Keep going. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, who had been sick. Now listen, I like reading it out of both of them, because as you do, you get to see a bigger picture. Now, Luke is writing from the point of view of a physician. Matthew was a tax collector. Life differently. That's just how it is. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with the tax collector's view, and there's nothing wrong with the physician's view. The idea is, in both of these situations, the centurion said the same thing. All you got to do is speak the word. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This our topic for today is walking with God like the centurion. This centurion heard Jesus teaching and said, I believe what this man's teaching. Look at the miracles. There's other centurions that was assigned to Jesus that was like, whatever, who's this guy? Who's he think he is? The guy, that's all staged. And yet, when you come down to the end of Jesus' life, and let's go there, Matthew 27:54. 21 verses in the New Testament talk about a centurion. Isn't that interesting? Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion who was with them, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion said that. The centurion said this was the Son of God. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. They stood there and listened to the word that he was speaking all day long. Every time Jesus had an event, every time Jesus went anywhere and a big crowd showed up, there's a centurion there. Got to keep track of it. Got to keep peace. Yeah. So faith came by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And now this centurion standing there saying, wow. Of course, the earthquake, remember what happened? The earthquake, and it got dark. Let's see. Is it this one? Yeah, let's just go back. Let's go back to verse 50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. I'm in Luke, or Matthew 27:50. And we'll read down through 50 through 54. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This was a very, very, very serious event that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake, all these things, they feared greatly, saying, this was the Son of God. See, guys, what we can learn from the centurion, have your eyes open, have your ears open. Go with me to Matthew 13. No doubt Jesus taught this parable many times, where the centurion was. The parable of the sower. And this is verses 1 through 23. The parable of the sower. Watch this. Hold on. Got some real music happening out here.
Yeah. Or something.
Or something. Happened to my chat. There we go. There we go. Now. Obviously the Roman centurion had heard Jesus teach on the parable of the sower. So here he is. He's growing in his own faith. Why? He's listening to Jesus. He's telling those around him, hey, this Jesus of Nazareth, this man knows what he's talking about. Watch. Can you imagine? Here comes somebody in a cot, and they're like, Watch, guys. Watch. You know they had to just stand there like, have you ever seen anything like that? And, of course, the newest soldiers that were just showing up under the centurion's like, what are they doing, sir? What are they doing? Just watch. Just watch. Watch. You're going to be amazed. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. That lady just... Look at her. You can tell she can hear. She didn't hear, and now she's hearing. Then a leper shows up. Oh, Jesus. We don't need lepers around here. And because leprosy was such a contagious thing. The centurions were probably forced to have to deal with them. And, of course, if you got close to leprosy, then you ended up with it. And they're like, look at that person. Think about the day that Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And the one came back and bowed down before him. Centurion's like, wait, what's this guy doing? What's this guy doing? Hey, I need 5 of you to follow those 9, see where they're going, see what they're doing. That's what a commander of the military is going to do. And you're like, look at that guy's skin. There ain't a thing. Look at him. He's perfectly skinned.
Perfectly skinned.
Leprosy ate holes in your skin.
Oh, yeah.
Eat your whole nose, your ear off.
Yeah.
And so Jesus had said in Matthew 13:11, it had been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to you to know it. After you hear the word a number of times, faith grows in your heart. But now it's not just faith growing in your heart. Now you've got a personal accountability, responsibility to begin to say, all right, what does this mean? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of the king to search it out. And Jesus said, for whoever has revelation, to him more will be given. And he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have revelation, if you're not chasing after getting the revelation, then it says, even what you know will be taken away. Not by God. By the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things, your love will grow cold. Your relationship with God will grow cold. And you'll let go of those faith lessons you got. You'll start harboring offense. You'll start dealing with things intellectually. And as soon as you begin to deal intellectually, you're dealing on the human level, not on the God level. Now it's only as smart as you can get. When you're in God, it's not about how smart you are. It's about how much revelation you got. You know the greatest doctor who studied it, being a doctor for 50 years cannot get healed by his education?
Yeah.
He's only going to get healed by revelation knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more revelation is available to you. It's not about knowledge. It's about revelation. And this centurion kept chasing Jesus. And this centurion, of course, he was assigned to. But because you're assigned doesn't mean you're going to enter in. But being assigned, this man entered in. And just like Jesus said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. And to the point that Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. If you find yourself beginning to let go of some of the revelation that God's given you in the past, get a hold of your life. Turn off the distractions of Facebook, YouTube, Messenger. Turn off those distractions. They're keeping you from studying God's word. Every great leader that we follow says, the day came when I shut off every distraction and said, I'm going to immerse myself in the word. And just like that, the word within itself, every revelation that you speak in and of itself has already designed in it the eternal word of God filled with life that begins to produce life in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. All of those words are infused with life. So much life that as you speak them, it begins to produce life inside of you, your being. So speak the word. Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Romans. Mark chapter 4. This is one of my most favorite principles of God in the whole Bible. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of them?
Yeah.
So this got to be the number one. If you don't get it, study. Read every one of them. Tell God, I want this. Watch this. 21 through 26. Mark 4, 21 through 26. And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? And what is thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many people have a Bible on their stand that they never open up? It's covered. Your light is covered. But Pastor, I leave it laying there. Well, it's not doing any good just laying there. It's available. It's full of power. Verse 22, there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Now, we use that for sin. Every sin you do is going to be revealed, and you're going to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you know that? That's not what Jesus is even talking about. Jesus is like, there ain't no revelation you need concealed from you. But it's hidden in desire. It's hidden in focus. Look at what it says. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use to hear, it'll be measured back to you again. What does God say? Give, it'll be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over.
Amen.
Jesus said, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. God will not be mocked. Whatever man sows, that he's also going to reap. It's like John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. All of these verses tell us of an abundance. Abundance of finances, abundance of revelation, abundance of health. God's whole kingdom is based in abundance. His whole kingdom is based in abundance. Eat an apple. You don't eat an apple and have one seed. You get an apple and you have a whole orchard in one apple. Because that's who God is. Look at verse 24. Take heed what you hear. If you're filling your ears and your heart with the news, you're going to be messed up. But if you're filling your ears and your heart with the word, then great revelation will come to you. And to you who hear, to you who choose and have the stewardship, I am going to hear the word of God. To you more will be given. For whoever has, more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and the seed is the word of God in your life. No, just look. Turn back. Well, I'm turning back the page, verse 19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things than the word taking root, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Nobody can deal with the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things. You have to deal with it yourself. Pastor, you make this sound like this. I'm personally responsible. Yeah, you are. You can't get to heaven on anybody else's shirt sleeve, and they can't get to heaven on yours.
Amen.
You got to come face to face with God. Sister Leanne and I have said for years now, there's no me too in the kingdom. Relationship where somebody said, I love you, and the other one says, me too. Well, yeah, that's true. But no, you literally have to say, I love you out of your lips, or that doesn't mean anything. What's me too mean? Well, Pastor, you know my heart. It's not about your heart. It's about your mouth. Because God said about your heart, behold, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked unless you fill it with the word of God. That's what God said about your heart. He knows your heart. So he don't want to hear what's in your heart. He wants you to fill your heart with his word by speaking his word. What did the centurion do when he walked up? He said, Jesus, if you just speak the word, my servant will be made whole at home. And Jesus said, be healed. And what happened? Servant was healed. When you come here and hear me speak this word in revelation, it goes in your heart. If you'll just grab that revelation and hang on to it, it'll be a mighty revelation to you. It really will. And then guess what? Your life will change by revelation. It's not education. Although my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When you come here, open your spirit man is already open to God. Open up your heart and your mind and tell God, confront every religious indoctrination that's keeping me bound. Confront and expose every offense, every bitterness, every wound in my life. Confront it and get it out. Pastor, don't you think I'll cry a lot? Not once you learn the process, you'll no longer be crying a lot. You'll see it and be like, you ain't going to bind me down to that wound and fear and tears another day. I rebuke you. This is what the Bible says, and on you go. You crush that thing just like that. There's a lot of Christians that learn to move people by their tears. Stand up and testify. What'd they do? They use tears to get pity. Well, you know, been a rough week. The devil was fighting me all week long. You see, all that's after is sympathy. Sympathy doesn't, there's no victory in sympathy. There's victory in empathy because empathy does something about the problem. Sympathy just says, oh, I know it's bad. Let's cry together. No, see, there's no answer in that. When Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty them that are bruised, release the captive. And that's what you and I come to do.
Amen.
Say, thank God for victory in my life.
Thank God for victory in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
It's about time you get victory because I've been preaching it to you for a very long time. See, the centurion was assigned to Jesus. It was his job. But not just his job caused him to get the revelation. His inner desire within him, because God rewards those who diligently seek him. Your job might be to a great man of God. That's not going to make you get to heaven. Woman of God. Great ministry. You can still be totally messed up. I mean, we just heard John Bevere talk to his staff of people. And how many of them had some pretty serious things going on while they're working for the John Bevere ministry? But what did they do? They took the word and they overcame. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that means right here, right now, today, faith has come into your life. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
name. If you look at the clock, that's less than 1 hour of faith.
Wow.
It's okay. I have very specifically earned the statement of it's an hour and a half of faith. Thank you, Kathy. We sure love you and Matt and the family. Now,
yes, we do.
Well, I've come.
I'll come by and help you have a reality anytime you want me to. Now, think about this. When Jesus had said, I've not seen such great faith, he let every one of us know that faith is measurable and faith can be grown. But it's a decision. Say it with me. Faith is measurable.
Faith is measurable.
And should be growing every day.
And should be growing every day. Amen.
That means you got to get the word and put it down in your heart. I've been listening to a man named Charles Katz. He's a farmer in Arkansas. I'm getting ready to go over my 1 hour of faith.
Yeah.
He got the revelation of life more abundantly. He went and laid down in the poison ivy. No, he climbed his favorite tree stand, go deer hunting,
uh-huh.
That had poison ivy all over it. Got down, nope, he had poison ivy. I rebuke you, and it went away. Climbed the tree again. Come back down. After a while, goes home, starts itching. He said, no, I rebuke you. And it went away, and when he went back out again, poison ivy never had another day of effect on him the rest of his life. Why? You have the very power of God Almighty living on the inside of you. Just like very simply, I spoke life to Zoe and all of Sunday's family. People will say, Pastor, you didn't even pray very long. Look at what Jesus said. Somebody showed up with the devil. Go! And the devil, and the devil took off. You don't see Jesus praying long prayers. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, well, go your way. According to your faith, so it will be done.
Amen.
To you. All things are possible to who? Them that believe. And that means you have put this word down in your heart, and that word has come alive and is now giving you victory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. Say this with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Whether or not I'm assigned.
Whether or not I'm assigned.
For my job.
For my job.
To follow a great man of God.
To follow a great man of God.
I choose to study and grow in you.
I choose to study and grow in you.
And like this centurion.
And like this centurion.
Be known as a person of great faith.
Be known as a person of great faith.
In Jesus' mighty
name. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. I got to say one more thing about the centurion. I've been around a lot of military people. And the new guys really look up to the old guys. And the centurion was always a man of more age because he fought battles and won, survived. Can you imagine him standing there with the centurion? What do you think, sir? Is that real? It looks real to me, dude. Yeah, but how can he do that? I don't know. God must love that man. You ever see anything? You ever see him do anything wicked? No, that man never does anything wicked. That man's a holy man. You really think so? Yeah. Just you're controlling the crowd today. Just walk up there and get close to him. See what happens. Well, you got to know that all around Jesus, the power was just emanating from him. Mm-hmm. And they come back, their eyes real big, like, oh my God, my hair was standing on end. Have you ever been around a service where people are being delivered, set free, transformed all over the place? The power of God in that place is raised to a high level, and your hair will stand on end. And they came back saying, I never seen anything like this, sir. He goes, I know. Just keep watching and follow what that man said. You imagine how successful that centurion was? Following Jesus? The day they came and said, nah, we got to give you a different assignment. No, 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 no. Am I not doing my job, sir? I want to stay with this assignment.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive communion. We always receive communion when we come here. And we want to receive it today. Everywhere we go, everything we do, I want you to remember that the greatest force in your life is the power of the blood and you receiving it in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Let's read our scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul wrote by the Holy Spirit, for I received from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he's sitting there and he said, the betrayer's hand is on the table. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and leadership of the church until he comes. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. People have made the most important verse of that chapter. If you drink this wrong, you're going to get damnation. That's not the most important verse. The most important verse of that chapter is, women, don't cut your hair. The most important verse in that chapter is, let a man examine himself. Pray. Examination will cause you to pray. You'll be like, boy, I need you, Jesus. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love, God's love, has been perfected amongst us, you and me, in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, the head of the church, is, so are we, the body of Christ, in this world. Perfect love, cast out fear, and the torment that goes with it. There is no fear in love. You got fear, you got torment. I bind every traumatic event in your life that has ever tried to stop you and slow you down. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ready? Pray this prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with me. This is a prayer of salvation, prayer of rededication, prayer of hallelujah. I've been to sanctification. This is just the prayer that everybody should pray at least once a day. And here you might get it two or three times in a day. You ready? Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you,
I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life. And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out and say, and I receive you into my life right now. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling me with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, you may have just said, wow, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer for the first time. There's been a lot of people that the first time they ever received communion was right here online with us. And we're glad. I'm glad you're here. Glad you got bold enough to receive communion. Keep taking it. Keep receiving it. Watch this. On the inside, you might be like, wow, something's going on, Pastor. Yeah. You believed in the word of God that I was speaking, and faith has now come. What's what you just said, Jesus, come in with all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. And you just got filled with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I know God loves me. No, you got filled with God. If you've studied the New Testament, what actually happens when you're born again, you literally got filled with God. The author and finisher of faith just came to live on the inside. The light of the world just came and lived on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, that same Holy Spirit is living inside of you. God said, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my children. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. So he's not only amongst us, he's in us, leading us from the inside out. And that's your responsibility from now till Jesus comes again, is to begin to get your ears, not these on your side of your head, but the ears of your spirit tuned in so that you can begin to understand the voice of God, because he will never lead you astray. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, Psalm 23. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My email address and website's on the is in the notes of every one of these programs. So make sure you send us a note and say, hey, Pastor, help me walk with God every day. And we will. Hallelujah. Ready? Get your communion elements. Let's lift them up and we will receive them together today. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
By your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my willpower, and my emotions.
My willpower and my...
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body,
from
Jesus.
Your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
community.
And
right here in this community.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen, let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you joining us on Zoom, you can pray the prayer out loud with us if you'd like. Here we go. Lift up the cup of blessing. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
Right here, right now, today.
Right here and right now, today.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With my Father, he is my Father.
With whom? My Father, he is my Father.
By the blood. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have
become new. And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for
by
it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
Wow, listen to this. At the Father's request.
At the Father's request.
So I might find grace, mercy, and help.
That I may find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
Right here, right now, today.
Right here, right now, today.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
Who cannot be on me or my family.
I really like this one. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast out forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser,
brethren,
is cast out forever.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there is
no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are
and
made white.
I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood of Jesus together.
Thank you,
in the name of Jesus. If I could play it. I would play Charity Gale song, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood.
Blood of Pliny, yeah.
If you haven't heard it, we'll put it in our Facebook and YouTube threads. Somebody can put it right there. Go search it up. Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood, Charity Gale. It's a powerful song about the blood. I still don't have it memorized well enough yet. But thank you, Jesus, for your blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into marvelous light. Why? Because Jesus, the light of the world, just filled you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty
Jesus,
name.
Mighty name.
Well, Sister Kathy Angaroni prophesied that it's not an hour of faith. It's an hour and a half of faith. And from the moment I turn the Zoom on to right now, it's actually an hour and a half right now. So we got to be careful not to go too much farther. Bless you, Kathy. We love you. Bless you, Rebecca. Christine, we love you. Dan and Gwen, we love you guys. Sister Sunday and all your flock that's with you. All of you that joined us by YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, thank God for you. Stay connected in any way you can. Please communicate with us and say, hey, here, this is who we are. This is where we're listening. Send us a picture. Then email me a picture. We'll start a partner wall. People that's
there
just standing with us, and we'll have a picture right up there on the internet. Make it a good one. All right. But the idea is this. We thank you for your partnership, for your friendship, and most of all, for your prayers of faith. Every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central, we have a prayer program called Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness. Sister Leanne is leading us in a time of prayer and confession. And we've added to it every day listening to what Brother Dutch is saying. Brother Dutch is a major leader in the prayer movement of the world, actually. And has a very severe following, and it's great to get our faith in there and agree with the statements and declarations that they make and for the United States of America and for the world. And no matter where you are around the world, we're believing God that the people around you stand up, the righteous people, in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you, Kathy. You get to go. Got to go get Joey. Tell him Pastor Sam said hi. You can try to call me when you get him in the car with you. If I'm available, I'll answer. That's just where that's at. But we speak life.
He's doing good right now, but he needs a haircut. So I'm going to go get him and take him for a ride because he don't get out. So I just to take him to the grocery store. The lady, he doesn't like him to go to the store because he's scared of COVID.
But
I'm not scared. And Joey needs to be out.
Yes, he does. Amen. Amen. The whole time we're with you, we're believing for that life to flow in and in from you to him. And we declare, made perfectly whole. We bound the spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity, you've resisted, but ha, 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 we win.
Amen.
We laugh in your face, infirmity, because you don't win. You can't overcome Jesus' power. You've already been crushed. And we declare, Joey is healed, Dane is healed. And Rivers is healed. Michael is healed.
Amen.
All of these people we're praying for, completely, totally healed in Jesus.
Free and delivered.
Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, well, that's it. We'll see you soon. Remember, tomorrow night we're going to talk about reconciliation again. It's the most important part of this teaching is now that we've got the teaching from Jesus all the way through. Now we got to get this reconciliation part down. Seriously, so that people's lives can be changed.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
This week, we will get, read the word, established where it's been.
Amen.
Please speak your faith with that.
We stand in agreement.
Because that's taken some serious faith, but we can do it. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
See you soon.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yep, you,
you too.
Love you.
Have a great day.
Love you, Rebecca.
Love you too.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Lansing. Bye. Night, John boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Well, it's not good night. May you have a wonderful afternoon. Those of you on YouTube, thank you for being here with us. Come and join us. We'd love to have you here. We'd love to hear where you're watching from and how God's using this word to change your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Until we see you again, this is what we say. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus will always be Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, Blog Talk Radio. Anything we can do, make sure you contact us. If it's in our power to make it happen, we will make it happen. In Jesus' mighty name.